Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Can we gather up towards the front here? Mr. Strobeck, can you come up here with us too, please? We are ready to start. Good morning, and thank you for being here today on this wonderful Palm Sunday celebration. We have our hymn that we'll sing as we process into the sanctuary is hymn 507 when we get to that point. Hopefully, if you don't have a hymnal, you can remember the first verse of Holy, 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 because it didn't get printed in the bulletin. We're blessed to be together on this Palm Sunday as we celebrate our Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, and we're mindful of this fact that as he entered into Jerusalem, he entered for us. And we celebrate his entrance this morning with palms and hosannas and our worship and our gifts. So we begin today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. We're on our entrance psalm there at the bottom of the page. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes.
This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. If you turn over to hymn 507, we sing together as we process into the sanctuary, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Thank you.
We're on the middle of page 2 in your bulletin. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We continue now with our introit responsively. It's from Psalm 24. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle.
Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in.
Who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts, he is the King of Glory.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We sing the Kyrie together. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament lesson for this Palm Sunday celebration comes from the book of Zechariah in the 9th chapter. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the children forward now for our children's sermon. Thank you. Good morning. How are you guys? Good, good. Can I see one of those? Do you have two or did you take Danica's? No? Oh, hers is there. Okay. Do you want yours, Danica? We don't need them for the thing. I just wanted to wave it around like this. Okay, take it back. Hey, I want to give you guys a little preview this morning of what we're going to read about in just a minute. It's in the book of Philippians in the second chapter. And this text from Philippians tells us to have this mind among ourselves. And do you know what mind it's talking about? The mind of God. The mind of God. Yeah, the mind of Christ is what it says, okay? Have this mind among yourselves, the mind of Christ. So I wonder, would it be weird if you know how you guys have a mind, right? If you got somebody else's mind and they got your mind? Wouldn't that be weird? That would be weird. What kind of weird things might happen? Blood loss. You're right. Yeah. You might like a different animal. Yeah, that could happen too. Any thoughts over here? True. Yep. Oh, different memories, different points of view. Okay, what about food? Cucumbers, no thank you. Okay. But if you had someone else's mind, would you like cucumbers?
No.
You don't like donuts? Okay, I think we can all agree that we all like donuts, right?
No. I love donuts.
Okay. Okay, really good discussion there. Thank you. So, this is what the Holy Spirit gives us through the gift of faith and the Word of God, is He actually puts Jesus' mind into us too. Now, we don't lose who we are, but we also have the mind of Christ. And so, let me ask you this question. If somebody does some kind of sin and they do something wrong, does Jesus forgive them when they say they're sorry? Yeah. He does. And does He always forgive them when they repent?
Yep.
Always, right. Yeah, if they say they're sorry and they believe that Jesus forgives them. Now, do people always forgive each other?
No.
Oh, no, sometimes people hold grudges for a long, long time and they don't forgive until they remember and hear the truth that they also have someone else's mind. And it's the mind of Jesus that He puts in us, His thinking. And what does that allow them to do? Can they forgive then? Yeah, that's right. That's a gift that God gives us. I want you guys to remember that for me today, okay? And fold your hands, bow your heads, and close your eyes. Let's say a prayer. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, we thank You that through the Word and the Holy Spirit, You've given us Your mind. Help us to use it to forgive others and show Your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thank you. Okay. You're going to give your mind to Him? Just throw it up in the air. Sounds great. Whose coat? Somebody left their coat. Oh, here we go. We continue now with our epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted Him and bestowed on Him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord. We invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for our doxology and also for the reading of the Holy Gospel. According to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them.' And he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Would you join us now in confessing our faith together to the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our sermon hymn for today? It's hymn 423. Jesus, Refuge of the Weary. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Have you noticed in our world how kings and rulers, even some politicians and celebrities, prefer to stand at a far distance from their people, up on stages, behind police lines, and behind bulletproof glass? And these prestigious people, they're happy when we follow them on Instagram and other social media platforms. They're glad to take our money, and even though they stand at a distance, we'll go to great effort so often just to be in their presence, buying expensive tickets. Have you seen how much some of these tickets cost for these famous concerts? It's crazy. You can spend like $500 or $600 on one ticket. We like to do it. They're glad often to take our money, and they are amused by our affection. But they don't personally know us, do they? And they don't personally take care of us. But our Lord Jesus is quite the opposite of that. Quite famous in our text this morning, as crowds in front of him and behind him are following him and leading him into the city, and they're crying, "Hosanna, King of the Jews! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But he rides in to the city, as we celebrate today, not in pomp and prestige, but humble, sitting on a beast of burden, not a big white steed, but on a donkey. It begs the question that's been on my mind all week long, which is, what was on Jesus' mind when these things were taking place? I don't know what you would have been thinking about if you were in that spot. I don't know what the Maccabeans were thinking about when they were in that position. But I certainly wonder, what was Jesus really thinking about? Because no doubt did he know what lied ahead on the road for him. Yeah, they might have been waving their palms that moment, but it wouldn't be long before those same folks would be crying, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" He knew what he was riding into. And I think as he rode in, he didn't ride into that city to be served, but to serve. He did not ride into that city to live, but to die. What was going through his mind when he saw the people with their coats on the road and their branches in the air, knowing the horrors that awaited him? I want you to think about that, if you would, with me this morning. What was on his mind? Because it's pretty amazing, this book that we have called the Bible. Because this book actually, believe it or not, tells us what was on his mind. He tells us in this book what was on his mind that day. It's in the chapter right before the chapter we're in this morning in our lectionary, which is Matthew 21. In Matthew chapter 20, it tells us what was on his mind. Right before the healing of the two blind men, the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, approaches our Lord and asks a favor of Jesus for her boys. She says she wants them to sit, one on his right and one on his left, in his kingdom. And Jesus responds to her saying, You don't know what you're asking for. Can you drink of the cup of which I'm going to drink? And what he's talking about there is the wrath that's to come, the wrath of God, the cup of wrath that he's going to drink of when he goes into that city, when he rides in. That's where he's going, to face the wrath of God against sin, against your sin, and against mine. And after she asks him that and he tells her that, then he tells us what's on his mind. He says, this is verse 25 of Matthew chapter 20. But Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. Maybe that's what some people think when Jesus is riding into Jerusalem with the palm branches and the coats and the hosannas. Maybe some people would think that's what he was doing. But he says, the rulers of the Gentiles do that. Then he says in verse 26, to his disciples both then and now, it shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. That's what lied ahead on the triumphal entry road, is that he would serve, that he would give his life as a ransom for many. That's literally, if we go to our epistle lesson in Philippians chapter 2, what the Apostle Paul is talking about right there in our lesson, that we should have this mind that's yours in Christ Jesus. That Jesus did not find that equality with God, which he had, was a thing to be grasped, but humbled himself, taking on the form of a servant or a slave. Paul's basically telling us what the mind of Christ is right there in that text. And also in Matthew's gospel, we're hearing what was on the literal mind of Jesus the day he rode into Jerusalem, that he came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for yours and mine. And it got me wondering, introspectively, mostly, do I ride into my days and my weeks and my months for the same reason that Jesus rode into Jerusalem? Do I have the mind of Christ, which is already mine, according to the apostle in Christ Jesus? And so I bring that question to you all as well today. Do you, what's the reason that you ride into your day? Can you be introspective with me this morning? When you open your eyes, you know that moment before you have to swing your legs out of the bed and get up and do something that you probably don't want to do. Unless it's making coffee, because I'm always game for coffee. What is on your mind? Why are you going? What's inspiring you? Why are you riding into that day? And then shine the light of God's word on that motivation. And say, is it the mind of Christ? It's already mine in Christ Jesus through the water of baptism. Is it a mind that's willing, like my Lord, to go serve? I think this is a heavy thing to think about, because I don't really believe that the human nature is involved in pretty much anything for this wonderful reason called service. I think there's always something in it for us, even if it's just us patting ourselves on the back a little, or us saying, well, yeah, you know, I am pretty good at that. This is not at all the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is, in fact, to humble himself and to go in and serve to the point of death. And the scriptures are telling us this morning in the book of Philippians, it doesn't just describe the mind of Christ, it says, have this mind to you and to me. Go in to serve. Go in for the sake of someone else. Can we think about that? What that would look like for us? Have you ever had a New Year's resolution before? Lots of people have. I wonder if any of them have ever, in the history of our sinful world, been, you know what, this year I'm going to be a servant to God and neighbor. It doesn't sound like a very popular one. Maybe there was, but think about this for a second. If we're being formed and fashioned into the image of God's Son, which is what the scripture tells us, if that's what the Holy Spirit is doing within us, and yet when we see the mind of Christ on the triumphal road, and his mind is in fact to go in and serve, and then we have a mind what? I think you can make sense out of this statement from Matthew 20 that says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. I think you can make sense out of us as sinful people just by flipping it around. We come not to serve, but to be served. And that's how most of us write into our day, right there, is we're looking for that. What good thing could come to me today? And if it doesn't come to me, then what? Then it's anxiety, and it's depression, and it's apathy. Don't want to do it. No good thing. I'm not getting anything out of this. What's the point? There you go. And we all have to say guilty, don't we? Jesus is showing us something new, a new way. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says that Jesus went to the cross for the joy set before him. He endured the cross. The joy. How could you mix that statement of the suffering of the cross, the horrors of the cross, and joy? But the scripture does it. And I think the scripture's showing us something new today. Something we'd be smart to pay attention to, especially if we don't really like the bread that we get when we mix up that recipe for depression and anxiety, which is basically us not getting what we want. And we've learned it about ourselves too, that the more we do get what we want, the more other people serve us, and we start to get that, the bigger the hole gets. And it just keeps going in, and we keep looking for more. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. Might it be possible that in service to others, if we woke up in the morning and our eyes came open with our heads on the pillow, and we said, you know what? Today I'm going to get up with the mind of Christ. And I'm going to serve. I think there might be some joy in that. I think there might be some that we've rarely, if ever, seen that God would give to us in those moments of service. I think we can finally let go of this sin-sick desire and hunger and lust to be served and turn around and do exactly what Jesus tells us, which is, anyone who would come after me, he says, let them pick up their cross and follow me for the joy set before them. Could we live for God and neighbor? And could there be joy in that? It reminded me of the Exodus from Egypt, when the people were all in servanthood to Pharaoh. And God sends Moses in to Egypt to rescue the people out. Remember? To rescue them out of what? We often say he sent Moses in there to rescue them out of slavery or servanthood. But I'm not so sure. Because God simply requires of us that we be servants of Him. It's not like we ever stop being servants. I just think the world has bought and sold us something so that it can keep us from the joy. That's what I think. The joy of being a servant of Christ. Paul calls himself this in the epistles. He calls himself a slave to Christ Jesus. And yet he says he understands what it's like to be content in every situation. That's what he says. He says, I've discovered this. In hardship and trials and calamities and all this stuff, he says he knows what it is. And at the same time calls himself a slave to Christ. I think the devil buys and sells us all kinds of garbage that keeps us chasing carrots on wild goose chases for what we think we have to put in this giant gaping hole that's in us. And in reality, it's the place we'd never look, friends. Not to be served, but to serve. Pretty amazing. The world is always going to come at us with this need to be served, this prestige and pomp. It's always going to come at us looking to the wrong things like fame and power and wealth. And they're always going to stand at a distance. Not really going to know us and not really going to be able to do much for us. But that's not our Lord. And it's not what he teaches us, and it's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ that the apostle tells us to have is humble, mounted on a donkey, riding into the city to serve you, and then calls you and me, his disciples, to follow in his footsteps, to love God and to love neighbor, to serve God and to serve our neighbor for his sake. And in that beautiful thing is this joy of the Lord. So I encourage you this morning, we wouldn't do that service to get anything. No, Christ has already given us all things in the waters of our baptism, in the faith that he put in us, in his very body and blood in the sacrament. It's all yours. But because it's ours, we get to go and follow in his footsteps and love God and love neighbor and serve them. And we receive his forgiveness in this room this morning, and then we take it out and we share it with them. That's maybe one of the greatest ways we can serve, is to finally let go of that grudge, to finally forgive and share that forgiveness. Not that it comes from us, but because it comes from him. That's a great way to serve. There's lots and lots of good ways to serve. May the Lord give us joy as we go forth from here, his servants, to serve others in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our prayer of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, King of glory, Lord of hosts, lift up the gates of our hearts and make a way for your blessed Son, whose mind is so different than ours. But Lord, forgive us our sins and renew our souls that we may glorify him who died to save us. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Lord, you have raised up faithful leaders for your church, and we appeal to you to continue to provide those leaders, pastors, church workers, and Lord, the congregation members that have taken it upon themselves to be leaders in their own congregation. Lord, show us all leadership through service, your way, your mind. And prosper the work of those who bring the light of Christ to those living in darkness. Bless those whose acts of mercy extend your love to those in need. Lord, that through your church, we may serve you not just alone, but together in faithful service and witness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, you sanctified your own Son. Lord, you sacrificed him on the cross that we could be called your children. Increase the faith of all Christian parents that receiving Jesus and trusting in his atoning sacrifice, they may be enlivened to sacrificial love for their children. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Mighty Lord, all the might of man is nothing before you. That you have appointed earthly realms and rulers to punish evil and honor good. Lord, and we pray that you'd give us faithful leaders who will serve honorably and humbly and like you teach us. Bless all those who serve, Lord, in law enforcement, in the armed forces, in the hospital services, in the EMTs and emergency services. Lord, strengthen them. Give them what they need, we pray. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Lord of hosts, your Son, Jesus, came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world. Lord, especially we name before you from the altar this morning, Kendall, Susan, and their family, Carol Schrader, the family of Jacob Beluska, Donna Erke, Wendy Vest, Kim Hill, Lindsay McClone and her son Carter Lee, Lucy Walsh and family, Jim Holman, Teresa O'Haver, Helen Almdale, Jeff Autopolic, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Sonny Rumler, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, as they await the fulfillment of their salvation, fix their eyes upon their crucified Savior. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your Son humbly rode into Jerusalem to the shouts of Hosanna so that he might give us righteousness and salvation by his death and resurrection. Mercifully grant that we would repent of our sins and rejoice in his presence as he visits us with his body and blood in his holy supper this day. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, make our ears like the ears of your Son, Jesus, ever open to hear your voice and ever eager to do your will, and make our minds like his mind, ever to serve you and the people that you've created. Lord, as his precious gospel rings in our ears, enliven our tongues to praise and proclaim his wondrous works of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves, our bodies and souls and all things. Save us, O Lord, faithful God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented. As they are, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. If you've been joining us on the radio, we thank you for tuning into our service this morning and wish you the Lord's blessings and his strength as he continues to lead and guide you according to his mercy each and every day of your life. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to the bottom of page 7 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. Yet in your mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary, you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. as we eat and drink his body and blood. Grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you. And may the Lord bless you this week. KSPK.